Ora Yehudit bat Esther. Now we can say it should be for the Gidul Tov of Rachel bat Ora Yehudit. Baruch Hashem.
Okay, Chatzei Hashem. We're back. We're healthy. The first thing I did when my son was born, a year and 9 months ago, so I brought him up here to the Musa Seder. You don't hear it?
You hear it? You hear
it? I brought him up here. My wife wasn't so keen on it. He was 3 days old, and I took him. I said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Musa Seder. Why are you taking him?" So the first thing that he will hear when he comes to Kiryat Yamino will be Torah. And he came and he sat here next to me, and we had all of Musa Seder, and he was sleeping the whole time, but it imbued within him with Hashem. And she didn't let me do it. I didn't ask her. Okay. Rachel's role behind Rabbi Akiva was behind the scenes, encouraging him. So she's sitting there quietly at home, and we're learning Torah here, and we'll be strong. Well, last time we were together, we started the last chapter of Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Avodas Elokim, Perek Yud. And we're speaking about a spectrum of emotion. And we're going through all the different emotions and giving the spectrum. We spoke last time, and this is going to something which is going to accompany us for the next couple of weeks, which is that if the Torah says mitzvot, like you must not be jealous, then you see the Torah built in understands that you can control emotion. It wouldn't command you something that you can't do. The moment that it says to you don't be jealous means you can control jealousy. The moment that it says to you v'ahavtat Hashem Elokecha shows that you can choose to love. Emotions are not something that either come to you or don't come to you. It's something which you can choose to love, you can choose to be jealous of. Sometimes you find yourself in a natural state of being jealous, and then you have to learn that way, how to choose out of that. That's fine. It could be that you have a natural way. We're not saying there's no natural way. It could be a natural way. But it doesn't mean you're stuck there. It doesn't mean that you're determined to be like that. You have choice. You can choose. So when we speak about different types of emotion, and we're talking about a spectrum of emotion, ultimately you are the one who chooses where you are on that emotion. And the last thing that we spoke about was the topic of joy. Everyone gets joy from something. You get to choose what you get joy from. So naturally you will get joy from learning and getting stuck in learning and then understanding it. You'll get choose to get joyment from that. Is that because it's a universal joy? Not really. There are people who are your age who, if you would bring them here and say, let's learn Gemara together, they would much rather die than sit and learn Gemara together. Because for them that's like gun the opposite. But they say that what happens in the next world, they say that some people go to Gan Eden and some people go to Gehenna. They say, why, what happens? They say, there's only one place, it's Yeshiva. But for some people, that's Gan Eden, and for some people, that's Gehenna. It's the same place. The people who like learning and feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they get there, they say, this is Torah, without any barriers. I'm able to learn and understand and feel the joy. It's Gan Eden. Some people get there and they say, I have to sit and learn all day, this is terrible, it's the worst thing for me. Really what they're feeling is, they're feeling what a missed opportunity that I had that I could have been learning in the world and now I'm not able to get to that learning. The same place, the same closeness to Hashem. For some people it will be a joy, but some people will be a feeling of great loss. So someone who says, of course everyone gets joy in the same thing, it's not true. You choose to get joy of learning and understanding or learning. You choose to get joy in whatever it is that you say joy in. Other people, you listen to music. Right, you say it's very enjoyable to listen to music. I'll give a personal example. For my father, one of the reasons, the main reason he moved to Israel, other than being with the family, was to hear Chazan in the great synagogue. Now, what I said before about coming to yeshiva and me is almost the same thing. Like for me to go and sit in Chazan's concert is torture. If you take me to a place where everyone's singing and I'm singing along with that, I enjoy. Then I feel like I'm part of it and I can sing thoughts and Avodat Hashem. But to hear someone else singing for hours, it's boring and a waste of time. I don't get it. It's a show and it's a boring show. For me, my father would say, hear me say this. I say it to him. He'd say, blasphemy, blasphemy. Chazon is this name and this name and this name. These are the greatest people in our era who can sing. And I said, I'm glad that you enjoy it. I appreciate that not everyone has the same taste as me, and he appreciates what everyone says to him. Very good. So so he chose that as his enjoyment. If I would want to, and it would be important to me, I could learn and train myself to have music as an enjoyment, and I would find an area where it's enjoyable for me, and I would choose to join to it. But enjoyment, pleasure, is something that you choose. Of course, you're designed one way. Some things that you, if you're not good at it, it's unlikely you'll come to find enjoyment in it. You can, but it'll be hard. There was a boy here to get above me in Karen Biavne, who learning was, he was not built for learning. He wasn't built for learning. And he would explain again and again and again, he just didn't understand. And when he learned, he had such pleasure. It was hard to understand like how he was getting pleasure, because he clearly wasn't always understanding everything correctly. But it was the pleasure of, like, one step closer, a little more understanding, a little better. Like, oh, that's what it means. Oh, I didn't know what it meant. That's what it means. Amazing. And he chose that learning would be pleasurable for him. And it wasn't pleasurable in the sense of gaining wisdom, because he was stuck at the end of the Seder as pretty much the what he said. And he went on for again and again and again. And he was really, really enjoying himself, because he recognized he was doing the right thing. And then he was coming to a little more understanding every day, a little more. And he finished yeshiva not much more than how he started. No, he was a year above me. I was with him. We had a chavrut together during the break, and we went all the way through Shana the year together. And like he didn't, he was still maybe he had a few more facts, but it was basically the same place. But he loved learning. Like you see his face, you literally saw his face. He was smiling when he looked, like smiling from ear to ear. From what? From he didn't know the translation and he understood the translation. Oh, that's what that word means. Yes. Like that's not normal that someone would enjoy that. Normally a person feels pleasure from success. But he decided that learning was what was his success, and that whatever step he would take, that was his next step forward. So you get to choose. There was once a man who was going through a difficult time in his marriage, and he came off a plane together with another man. And they came out together, and the other man's wife and children were waiting for him in the, where you come out? The entrance hall. And the kid like ran up to the father and like gave him a hug, and the wife was smiling. And he said like, wow, how long have you been away? So he said, 3 days. So he said like, 3 days? Like, it looks like your family are greeting you as if you've been away for like such a long time. So he said, marriage is a choice. And the guy didn't understand what he was saying. He said, marriage is a choice. If you choose to make your marriage something that you invest in and that you love, then your children will love you and your wife will love you, and then you've chosen to make that a valuable item. You can also choose not... A person can choose not to have a good relationship in marriage, and he can choose to have a good relationship. It's not always the case. Sometimes there are things which are objective and they're difficult. Someone has a mental illness. Sometimes there are things which are challenged. But most things are a choice. So simcha and atzvut, makom ha-shimush b'simcha hu, k'shti b'tzucha sh'ana'a tiyeh ha-nitzchi. That was where we left off. You get to choose what brings you joy. You could choose that you get pleasure from sport, and you will link your pleasure to sport. And then you'll follow a football team, and whenever that team wins, you'll decide, now I'm happy. And throughout your life, you'll be happy and sad, and happy and sad. There are seasons, right? So you'll have times you're happy and sad. And then your family will say, oh, he's in a good mood, it must be this football team won. Right? And why is Abba shouting today? Oh, because the football team lost. Right? And then your children will learn that it's totally random, because you've made your pleasure dependent on a team. A bunch of going running around after a football. That's what your pleasure... You chose to make your level of joy dependent on a non-Jew in Brazil kicking a ball into a net. It's mashuga. Someone else can decide that he chooses that his pleasure, his simcha, will come from something nitzri, from Torah learning. And he decides that. So when he comes home and he shares with his children how much he enjoyed Musa Seder today, and his children see like, why, what happened, what did you say, what was that? And he shares with them some ideas like that he learned there. And they say like, Torah is really good. Abba's happy. Why is Abba happy? Because he learned Torah. That's a choice that you make. You could easily choose a sport. You'll be foolish to, because then it's nothing you can do about it. You win, you lose, there's nothing you can do. But if you choose to make something eternal, you can do it. You want to have more joy, do another mitzvah. You want to have more joy, learn more Torah. It's more dependent on you, and it's real, and it's objective, and you're showing the next generation of what's really, truly valuable. The father comes home, and he's really happy, and his kids say, what's going on, why is he happy? And he's got a new iPhone, and all these gadgets and all these things that his children learn. That's valuable. That's what brings joy. And then they'll go and look for those things to get pleasure. The father has a phone, but he doesn't really pay much attention. They'll say, okay, that's a good way to relate to technology. You have it, but it's not the center of your life. You know, and not everything goes around it. That's not what brings me joy. That's something which is necessary. They'll relate to it in that way. They pick up way more from your way you behave than your words. The father could come home and say, Ki heim chayeinu yvarech yomeinu, Torah is everything. And the father says that, and then he goes and plays on his phone. The children will say, Gadol shimusha yoter milimuda. The way you're behaving is much more important and greater than the way that you're saying. And they say, yes, Dad, we know that's the line you're supposed to say, but we'll do what you're doing. And then they'll carry on doing the same as he does, saying that line and doing whatever they do. That's the way that the children are educated. So what you choose to give joy, and also was upset. You hear those words? You can choose to activate it. You choose what you can choose football, you can choose Torah, your choice. You choose what you want to make you happy, and then you activate what makes you happy. This idea is so basic and so not known that people are causing themselves unnecessary suffering throughout their life by making their joy dependent on random things. We once had a guest at our house, and they said, it was a mother of a boy who was here, who came for Shabbat, and she said, I looked out the window this morning and I saw that it was raining, and that's why I felt so sad. I was trying to like smack that. I said, didn't you learn the first Rashi that it says a bracha is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives rain? If you behave properly, then you'll have gishamim b'itam. So maybe she didn't learn that Rashi. So what did she learn? She learned a song that says that when it rains, you're upset. There's some song like that. It's some song that says that when it's raining, what's the title of the song go? Rain, rain, go away, come again, that's one. I was thinking another one. But yeah, all those songs. I'm singing in the rain. What's the title? I'm singing in the rain? Meaning, really rain is bad. Right? And that's it's a bad situation. But I'm choosing to sing in the rain. Either way, the rain is bad. That's the pshat in that song, right? I'm choosing to be happy despite the difficult. What's difficult? That the rain. Rain objective? That. So what did this woman do? She linked her emotion to the weather. Do you understand English people now? Understand it? They link their emotion to the weather. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, it's raining again. Like, I was in Israel for a few months when I was a boy in high school, and I came in primary school, and I came to live in Israel for a little bit, and then my class wrote letters to me. So in the letters, there was more spoken about the weather than there was about like other things that were in the car. Yeah, it's been a tough few weeks. It's been raining nonstop. Like, why are you linking your emotion to the weather? You're crazy. It's almost as crazy as linking it to a sport. Because at least weather I can understand, like it's a bit difficult to go out, to come in, I can understand a little bit. But why would you choose to do that? Why would you choose to link your emotion to something outside of you? If you make your emotion dependent on yourself, your avodat Hashem, your mitzvah that you're fulfilling, your relationships that you're building, your Torah that you're learning, then you can control your emotions. But the moment you choose to link your emotion, it's like when you link a currency, that currency goes up, that currency goes down, you link something to a currency. Once you link your emotions to anything outside of yourself, you've ruined yourself at that moment. You may be happy sometimes, you may be upset other times, you've linked yourself in an unhealthy way. Such a basic idea. And people harm themselves by not following such ideas. A lower level of pleasure or learning? Right, so thank you for the question. I want to explain a little more what I'm saying. It's not that you don't have joy in you. You choose to enjoy something and then you generate joy. That's not how it works. Rather, it's you have potential for joy within you. You are looking for something to get pleasure from. The nature of man is that he wants to be happy and he wants to get pleasure and enjoyment from something out there. Just the question is your channeling of it. So if you choose to channel, you're always going to be looking for something to make you happy, always. So if you choose to channel that seeking happiness to something which is out of your control, that's where you're ruining yourself. It's not that you're not happy and then you chose to follow football and now that's making you happy. It's that you have happiness within you, you have the seeking joy, Yirshu Hashem, you have the seeking, that you have that within you naturally. Now where do you channel it to? That's your choice. So it's as if you have like a certain amount of energy within you and you have different machinery in front of you, and whichever machine you choose to channel the energy into, that's what will happen. So if you choose to channel the energy into like a saw, an electric saw which has no control, then you're putting yourself in danger. If you choose to channel the energy into a machine which is going to give pleasure, a real authentic pleasure, let's say if you take a physical example, it's going to make food which you can then eat and benefit from, then you've done something valuable. So if a person already has something of higher value, and he's choosing to channel that pleasure system, that pleasure that he has in him, something higher, of course that will give him the pleasure to spend. But if right now he finds that he's channeling the joy into something which is not dependent on him and has no inherent value, then he should recognize, I'm doing a good thing in that I'm channeling my joy. I'm not being depressed and just sitting here not doing anything. I have life, I have skills, that's already a good sign. But now I just have to be wise to myself. Am I channeling my joy to something valuable or not? And if it's not, then you start looking for the good in nitri, invaluable things, and then slowly but surely the enjoyment that you get from those other things will go down and down and down, and you'll have a much more satisfying life. Does that answer the question? Yeah, no. Yeah. You don't learn in order to be happy. The goal is fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. That's the goal. Using all the kochot that Hashem gives you. One of the kochot that Hashem gives you is joy. And then you channel joy into Hashem. Right? So that the end goal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not the end. That's what we spoke about two or three times ago. But we spoke about how from the non-Jewish world, the end goal is the emotion. And now you feel calm and now you feel happy and finished. But here, the end goal is Avodat Hashem. But one of the kochot is joy. So you choose to use that joy in areas that are going to bring you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. So valuable goals always have to be in a context of sorts. If the value that one has of gathering knowledge is in order to bring goodness to the world, and therefore with the knowledge he's going to have, he's going to use it to help people, or with the knowledge he's going to have, he's going to use it to understand Torah in a better way, or in a certain way. If he's going to use it to be showing off, that's a very different area. There's always a context in which a person is doing the neutral thing that he's doing. If a person is using his joy to gather information, and then with that information he's going out and teaching others, and helping others, and providing things for others, then that's within the context of doing the will of Hashem, in the sense that it's something eternal. It's bringing positivity to the world. That would be a healthy area. If his gathering of knowledge is another value, which is dependent on him, as you say, but it's something which is leading to his trait to become negative, meaning it's leading him to show off how much knowledge he knows to other people, then it would be a negative thing, which you're right, it is dependent on him, so that's an important refinement, but it's not leading to eternality, because it's leading to the opposite, it's causing him harm, it's causing him damage. So yeah, that's a good point. I want to then redefine. There are two conditions. Condition number one is it has to be something which has, it's dependent on you, not dependent on something external, but a higher condition, which we would call number one, let's go to the higher one, is the one that it has, nitri, it has inherent value in what you're doing. Inherent value. Inherent value and depend on you that you can do something with it. Ve'ilu makom ha-shimush ba'atzvut. Now again, we spoke about the idea of a spectrum. And the way we describe the spectrum is that there's joy, that there's one end of the spectrum over here, there's one end of the spectrum over here, and your goal is not to be on either end, it's to be in control of the entire spectrum. That you know when to use joy, and you know when to use sadness. That's the way the spectrum works. So it's not that mitzvah gadola liot b'simcha tamid. That's not a concept. It's mitzvah gadola ledat eizeh tchuna lishtamesh b'kol shlav. You have to know how to use... I'm very against that phrase. Someone recently, when we moved into our new house, so a member of our family brought us like a big wall thing, and it said on it, we knew Tzvi would love this. Mitzvah gadola liot b'simcha tamid. Because it's about joy, and I'm a very joyous person. I said, please don't, I said to my wife, please don't hang it up. She was like, wait. And then once they left, I put it on the side, and then once I could, I went and I exchanged it. And I put up a different, I exchanged it for a different one that said, Hatov kilu chalu rechamecha, v'amrachem kilu tamu chasodecha, which is more appropriate. What is the phrase, mitzvah gadol aliyot v'simcha tamid? It's exactly the opposite of what we're learning. Exactly what we're learning not to do here. it's making the simcha the end goal. The end goal is to be happy. What are you happy for? What's the purpose of this happiness? If you don't have that next phrase, then it's worthless. And if it makes you happy to do things that harm people, is that also a mitzvah? There's no end goal of being happy. There's a goal of using the joy for serving Hashem. Tachat Asher lo avadetem at Hashem b'simcha. Has to be within the service of Hashem. The simcha is used for the service of Hashem. So there's no goal of always being happy. There's a goal of being in control of the joy and being in control of the sadness and knowing when to use each one.
Kishkore davar she yitzaer otcha tamid. Ve'ein lecha yacholet larchik oto mimcha ve'lo derech limalet menu az tifali et midat ha'atzvut v'shtamshi ba.
There are certain things in your life which is not appropriate or happy. It's not appropriate to be happy and joyous about at that moment. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to fall into depression. That's a different thing. We're not talking here about someone who falls into a depression. We're talking here about a sadness which a person is able to use the right. My mufugar was a madrich in camp, the one with kids who are sick, long-term sick. And he said to me, "See, I can't make it today. One of the campers." I didn't hear the end of what he said. I just heard he said, "See, I can't make it to Harutz today because one of my campers." I just didn't hear the end of the phrase. I said, "That's so nice. You're going to move the camper." So he says, "I'm accompanying him." And then I realized he was talking about a Levi, and I felt very awkward. Like there, I was always up my jolly. Jovial self, it's like, "Oh, it's so nice, enjoy, have good times together." I don't know what I said, but I said something very positive. That was inappropriate. There's a time to use sadness in a healthy way. It doesn't make me depressed or not able to function, but it's an appropriate minute to use. Someone just lost a close member of their family. It's not appropriate to tell jokes. Not everyone is sensitive to know how to sit in a shiva. Some people think, mistakenly, that the goal of the shiva is to distract them. And they come, they start telling stories. "Oh, you know what happened to me this time, that time, that time." And they think, "Oh, I'm doing them a mitzvah. I'm just taking their mind off their tzad." If they ask you for that, that's fine. If they bring that up, they say, "Oh, tell me about that story that you told." Maybe they want that. That's fine. Then it's a good thing to do. But that's what they're asking for. They bring it up. But it's not the primary thing to do. The primary thing is, "I'm just sitting here with you, not saying a word. I'm just sitting with you." And that's tuning in to the middle of sadness. If a person will be happy the whole time, to the point where he's not able to tap into the sadness when it's healthy, then even his happiness is not authentic. Because his happiness is like, "I'm proving that I'm happy, I need to be happy all the time." Wait, don't sad. No, don't be sad, happy, smile, quick. That's not a real happiness either. A real happiness is when a person is able to be happy when it's appropriate to be happy, but he's also able to be sensitive and feel the sad. If something is painful, he's with them in the pain. If he's thinking about the Beit HaMikdash, he's able to feel the pain. If he goes to something which is challenging, he's not depressed, but he's able to recognize and give the appropriate emotion towards it. So it's a spectrum of joy and sadness. And our goal is to be the balabayit. Our goal is to be sholet. Our goal is to be in control. I see the whole spectrum before me. I see a given situation. I say, what is the appropriate emotion to tap into at this time? And the Torah says you can control that. It commands you. Don't be jealous. It commands you. Love Hashem. You can control your emotions. You have to learn the whole spectrum. It's understand the healthy response. It's not that you can do it in a click. You have to develop it, develop each side, and then you can tap into each healthy emotion at any given time. Shabbat.